My name's David Williams. I'm working with the Whitley's Oral History Group, and I'm talking to Judy Henshaw. It's Friday, the 7th of March, 2014, and Judy's going to talk to us about life with the Rural Post Office. Judy, your family's had a long association with Great Whitley, and in particular the Post Office. We'd be delighted to hear your knowledge and information regarding the Post Office.
Well, the first post office was opened by 1855. The post arrived at 9:15 a.m. and left at 4 p.m. By 1870, the post office was run by the Moore family, and Mrs. Selina Moore was born in Elampton, and she had two daughters, Emma and Ada, who also worked in the post office. By 1910, the post office was bought by Mr. and Mrs. Alfred Prattley. By that time, it was a telegraph office, and Mrs. Prattley had to learn the Morse code so that she could record them. Most of them were for Whitley Court, and Len Glazard was employed to deliver the telegrams. In 1912, the first telephone was installed, due, I think, to the Earl of Dudley. Lady Dudley used to sit in Mrs. Prattley's sitting room waiting for phone calls to come through.
I see. The post office installed the phone at the post office itself.
There was only one at that time. In 1924, a telephone exchange was installed. But of course, that was after the Dudleys had left and the estate had been sold. There were 90 subscribers in Great Whitley and Aberley, plus 4 lines to Kidderminster and 3 lines to Worcester, until 1949. Mr. Prattley, we were lucky really, because he had the habit of swearing at people who phoned after about 10 o'clock. So the villagers weren't used to calling late at night unless it was an emergency. We went to bed at about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and there was a large loud bell on the landing upstairs. So if you phoned at 1 o'clock, you had to wait quite a time for someone to get out of bed, find their way down to the telephone exchange. The exchange was actually set at the back of the shop in a little ramshackle, sheddy type building. Mr. Prattley built it, so it was a bit rough. And it was heated by a coke stove. We used to employ one girl mainly to do the telephone. When we moved in, it was Olive Winwood, who later married one of the Childs boys. And the other person who worked for us for years and years was Miss Cicely Lamb. And by the time I was 12 or 13, I used to work the telephone exchange for a bit of pocket money.
So it was all done manually. There was no automatic system at that time?
Oh, no automatic system at all. You looked at a board which had numbers and a sort of light, and it's like an eyelid that dropped down. If you picked up your phone, the eyelid would drop down, and you put a jack plug in that hole and said, "Number, please." If they wanted another Whitley number, you picked up the corresponding jack plug, plugged that into the number they wanted, and then you had to pull a lever backwards and manually turn a handle, which caused the phone to ring in wherever you were calling. There were a few places that you could dial a prefix number, local places, and you could get straight through. Otherwise, you had to go to Worcester or Kidderminster, and you called the operator there and told them what number you wanted, and then they went on with the call. And you had to write it down, the time they started speaking and the time they stopped speaking, on a little pad. It was about 3x4, and you always wrote it in pencil.
And that's how the monthly bills were generated, is it?
Yes. You could listen in by pushing a lever forward. We weren't supposed to listen in, but you had to listen in to see if the calls had been answered. so that you could say no reply, or people could hear because there was always a click. If you knew what it was, you knew it was a click, it was the key going over.
It sounds a very labour-intensive process. No wonder Mr. Prattley was a little bit annoyed if customers rang after 10 o'clock.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, the outside in the garden, we had a large shed, and that contained, about 20 or 30 batteries. You know, the big old-fashioned sort that you had to keep filled up with water. And that all that work was done by a chap called Mr. Maggs. And he was the linesman and used to do all the fixing of the telephones round here. Everybody knew him, a lovely man. So he was all part of the scenery. And I forget what they paid. I think they paid my dad sixpence an hour or something. And he couldn't afford to pay anybody to work the telephone and make a little profit for himself. So he asked for a rise and he didn't get it. So Dad gave him notice. Of course, the boss at that time was the post office, and Dad's immediate boss, of course, was the postmaster in Worcester. They went around a lot of people in Great Whitney to see if they'd take on the telephone exchange, but nobody would. So the outcome of that was that my dad sold them a strip of the pony paddock, which is just off the Starport Road, and they built the little Noddy House telephone exchange. And until that was built, there was in fact a caravan, a mobile exchange.
And that little building still serves as the telephone exchange for the area today, I believe. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That's 01299. And we were actually one of the earliest country villages to become automated because Dad wouldn't have it.
Always a trailblazer, your dad, from what I can remember
yes,
of him.
Yeah.
Did the telephone public call boxes by the 100 House and at Hillhampton, did they fall under Dad's responsibility?
Yes. Well, we had to go every so often to empty the money out and wipe a bit of disinfectant round or clean it, you know. I suppose we did a lamp. I don't remember a lamp, but we certainly used to have to go to the 100 House and keep that tidy. And of course, when you answered the phone from a call box, you said number please, and then you got the number they wanted on a different set of jack plugs, and not until the money had actually gone in did you connect the two up together, so they couldn't get a quick word in and put the phone down before you'd said how much money you'd got to put in.
That's the old press button A, as I recall.
Press button A and press button B. But I think it was only one button to start with, so they didn't put the money in until you'd got the number they were after.
I see. Can you recall how you contacted the emergency services? Did you connect callers to the police or the fire brigade?
I don't remember it being free or not. Certainly, you rang the police, the local police. It was 10, I think the number was. We were number one. That was our, well, it still is 201. Police, I think, were number 10. But you didn't get through to the police on the phone unless we put you through, wherever you were. Because incoming calls from Worcester or anywhere else, they came to Great Whitley, and then we connected them to the number in Great Whitley that outsiders wanted. You couldn't get through, as far as I'm aware.
Judy, that's a fascinating insight into telephones of a bygone era. We're so used to picking up phones and dialing automatically. It really was a different world.